Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 26th of August 2012. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Nick from Partially Obstructed View and Rev Stan. We're now going to talk about Cornelius by J.B. Priestley, which is running briefly at the Finborough, and I think is completely sold out, actually. Yet another one of these good productions at the Finborough with good people in it. This is, they say it's a forgotten masterpiece. I'm not sure that masterpiece is quite what I'd call it, but it was really a vehicle for Ralph Richardson, written in 1935. And you can certainly see, if you know a bit about Ralph Richardson, I've seen him in a few films, you can certainly see him play this role. But I think, actually, I found it really suited the main star of this, which is Alan Cox, and he really produces a very good performance. It's a relatively simple play, and it's interesting that J.B. Priestley is sort of known for his time plays, things like Time of the Conways, and also A Dangerous Corner, which was A Dangerous Corner came out earlier than this, and Time of the Conways was written a couple of years after this, and of course The Inspector Calls, his 1945 play. It's rather ordinary, really. I mean, that's doing it a terrible disservice, because I think it's really rather well done. And it's a perfectly decent story. A businessman is trying to struggling to keep his business afloat. Has great hopes of his business partner. Unfortunately, things have happened to his business partner while he's been on the road trying to drum up business. We're in sort of 1930s, so we're set during probably the Depression. We get a lot of people coming in trying to sell them things like stationery supplies and cosmetics and things like that. You know, people almost wandering in off the street. People who've sort of had decent jobs or something like that and have just fallen on hard times. That they keep coming through this office. Cornelius is a sort of charismatic person, but doesn't seem to want to do anything with his life, and hasn't really done an awful lot with it. He's very reliant on his sort of missing partner, who we don't see until he comes in towards the end of the first act, and he's rather at sea. He lost his wife about 8 years ago. One of the senior woman at the firm has her eye on him, but he's not really that interested. But he does get captivated by a new typist who is the sister of the old typist who's been called away to Newcastle with her young man, and he kind of falls for her. You don't really get that until the later parts of this play. But I reckon it was a pretty good play, and I was very glad to have seen it. Nick, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm not. It's funny you should say ordinary. I know what you mean, and I know. And yes, it is kind of accurate, and at the same time, not really. It makes it sound like an insult, which it's not. It is at times quite unpredictable, actually. It's unpretentious, certainly, and it's certainly very straight down the line. But there are quite a few times in there where you're not quite sure where it's going to go. There is kind of a little oddness to the structure of it. Actually, I feel like that's probably for a very good reason. I feel like I say that a lot about these revivals at the Finborough, because I think it's a little bit hard to categorise, and I think that might, in many cases of these kind of plays that disappear for decades, that might be one of the reasons, is if you don't know what label to stick on something, it's very hard to sell. So they do kind of disappear like that. But yeah, it is quite unpredictable in some ways. But yes, in it is very much. It's got a very nice feel of the time frame of it in the design is a bit vague, but I think that's deliberate, because the office is meant to be very out of date. So it has a very kind of vaguely old feel to it. We had to check in the interval exactly when it was written, and it was 1935, to really be quite sure when exactly it was meant to be set. It is. It's very. It's it's very well worth seeing. I mean, like you say, it's probably probably sold out already by now, as most shows at the Fimbra are within a couple of weeks. It is quite a tricky one to kind of explain why it's worth seeing. It's quite a straightforward little story that then goes off into a couple of unexpected areas, and it's obviously, I mean, as with the American Clock, which they revived earlier this year, I think they've found the right time to revive a play that deals with kind of the Depression. Unfortunately, now with a topical relevance, but also one thing I like about this and in the production as well is that it never feels rammed down our throats. That this does have a modern day relevance, which is always nice, because I think some there's this kind of cliche in the reviews, which is timely revival, and I think I sometimes see productions that seem so desperate to get that little quote for the poster. It's a timely revival, and this is one without feeling like it's trying so hard to do it. Very nice performances. There's as you say, Alan Cox is very well cast. He's very much a character of highs and lows. Is Cornelius? There's a lovely moment where in kind of all the stress of this company that's going under, he gets a delivery of a book he's been waiting for, and there's this kind of childlike excitement at opening the parcel and kind of escaping into this book about the Incas or whatever it is he's got excited about on this instance. There's lots of nice performances. There's Annabelle Topham, who plays the character you mentioned, who's got who's got romantic inclinations towards him, and she's just a very kind of a very nice combination of a very funny but also quite moving underneath it all, very kind of pinched and emotionally kind of repressed character, who's trying to kind of show her feelings towards her, but it's very much a character of her time and of her place. There's Beverly Cline is very good. She plays two parts. She's very funny as a kind of salt of the earth cleaning lady, and she also plays quite an interesting part, which I again is one of these things about the play that it kind of doesn't go in the directions you think it does. It feels like it's going to go somewhere, and so in a slightly negative way, in the there's a character who you kind of think is going to end up being a big plot point and isn't really, but she's the niece of the landlord who turns up to the creditors meeting, and it's quite an interesting idea of kind of looking back at it and seeing what the intention was. You kind of see that the idea is this character who's got kind of this quite callous academic interest in other people's. She's obviously very well off herself. And she kind of it's quite interesting that you've got this character who comes in there to pretty much watch the show, and without quite realizing that, you know, this fascinating thing of this company, what happens when a company starts to fold in on itself? Let's sit and watch this. That actually she's not quite grasped that this is people's lives that are really hanging in the balance with this company. So there's a lot of interesting ideas. I think, yes, it was always destined not to be regarded as one of the great frequently revived classics, because it is odd in some ways that work and in some ways that don't. But certainly in this revival, it's very well worth seeing.
Yeah, I did think Beverly Cline, the only problem I slightly had with her was that although she was very different in the two parts she had, you know, she was able to convey them very well, she didn't look that much different, you know, between the two roles. And, you know, obviously they don't have a massive budget to sort of change makeup and costume, so it's always going to be a bit difficult. So she did, you know, you did think it just did slightly bother me, but obviously once she starts acting, she's, you know, obviously completely different people. I also like to put up a little thing for a favourite actor of mine, who's Colin Farrell. And mainly, it's only if only because he was he's not a particularly well-known actor, but he's always been in work. But he used to go trade under the name Colin Farrell. At least that's what he was when he was in a rather good episode of Porridge. And he's unfortunately had to change his name because of a young Irishman. It always rather, you know, it's always one of those things. I mean, obviously there are plenty of actors, you know, actors have the same name. I know an actor called Tim West, and he has the trade under a different name, and he's just an interesting actor to me, and it was always nice to see him, and he's decent enough in this.
He is. He's a nice kind of steady presence in the corner. Kind of there, he's kind of playing the oldest member of staff there, and both the oldest and the longest serving, apart from I think the senior partner. So he is a nice kind of steady presence in there, and quite a gentle, interesting little character in the corner. Yeah,
not especially old fashioned, although he is old. I mean, you don't feel that he's old fashioned.
Yes, he's got there's a couple of interesting moments where he's a character who kind of he's the character you most feel sorry for losing this job, because he's a bookkeeper, and he's got this kind of real sort of borderline autistic love of numbers, where he's got where he's kind of assigned personalities to different numbers. I think there's a nice little moment where he unfortunately doesn't quite make the connection. He's trying to make a connection about why the date of the creditors meeting, of why it's so important, and he thinks it must be something good, and actually what he's not quite cottoned onto is that it's the Ides of March. So that's a nice little reference in there, that he's that kind of a bit of doom for the audience to pick up on. Yeah, it's just very not very nicely cast. Very one other actor who I know what you mean about the performance absolutely different. It's Andrew Fillais, who plays one of the salesmen, and then plays one of the creditors. And like you say, the performance is absolutely different. But yeah, the kind of the costume design, and there's a little moustache which is very distinctive, and you do kind of think, oh, is he back in? And of course, no, he's playing a different character. But these are minor things. It's good. It's a very big cast, really, for a small show at a fringe theatre. So a bit of doubling is to be expected.
We're now going to talk about The Illusion at the Southwark Playhouse. This is an adaptation by Tony Kushner of Pierre Corneille's L'Illusion Comique. I think I saw this play in translation about 20 years ago. Translated by someone else. But this is more of an adaptation. He's updated the language slightly. It's not particularly anachronistic, but it feels very modern and not very and also sort of particularly stagey. And I think he's also cut out, you know, one or two extraneous characters from the play. But I think the basics are still the same. We have a lawyer, a father called Prédemont, played in this play piece by James Clyde, who visits a magician, a sorcerer called Alejandra, played here by Melanie Jessop, and she presents him a series of visions or illusions, and featuring basically four people, one of whom is his estranged son, and he becomes fascinated by the way that the son is always in slightly different situations, and often under different various names and things, and he doesn't find out until the end what the real reason for that is. And it's actually slightly an anti-climax, and you sort of think, well, of course it's like that. And I hadn't at all remembered, having seen this a long time ago, I hadn't at all remembered the sort of denouement, and I was somewhat disappointed. But I think that's only because I wasn't paying attention properly. But this is a nice little production. It's done in association with RADA, so the four sort of main actors in The Illusions are recent graduates from RADA, and I thought they were pretty good. The director, Seb Harcombe, is an actor I've seen a few times, and he's really quite a good actor. He's currently director of BA acting at RADA. So, Rev Stan, what did you think of this?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's always a slight concern when you see something that's got recent drama grads involved. I mean, sometimes they can be absolutely amazing, but sometimes they can be a bit green. But they were actually very, very good. And I really enjoyed the play. I really enjoyed the story. It felt sort of almost like story time. Obviously, the father's seeing all these visions, but he's sort of almost sitting watching it like with the audience, he occasionally interjects. And I really liked it. I liked the sort of the twists and turns in the story. I thought it was very interestingly done. And yeah, overall, I thought it was very good.
It was a nicely effective production, I thought, and it makes me kind of interested. I mean, there are some very interesting plays. This is sort of early 17th century, and it's sort of just after all the great Jacobean playwrights of in England, and this is sort of the French coming into their own. I think Marivaux is also another interesting playwright from around that time, and it's sort of I always kind of want to see more of this sort of play, because they are nicely odd. You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the As Yet Unnamed London Theatre podcast page in Facebook. On the web, we are ayu-londontheatre.org, and the podcast can also be found on iTunes, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.